Well, good morning, New Life. I'm going to do my best not to talk a lot today because we got a good friend, Alan, coming up today. You guys are in for a treat. He's going to give his testimony of perseverance, and I think it's pretty relevant. You think? Is anybody persevering through things right now? Raise your hand if you're trying to persevere. If you're trying, right now you're in the endurance side of things, right? You're trying to endure things so you can persevere through it. Amen. So, all right, we got a lot going on. You want to grab that one, Ben, so we could talk together? All right. So, next Saturday, who's planning on going up to Big Bear? I need to know because I got the van. I'm going to have the van so we can load that up. And if anybody else is able to go, we're going to Big Bear for the worship day over there at Summit Christian Fellowship. It's going to be a good time. This starts at 11, so I'll be up there like at 10. So if you want to go with me, we're leaving at 9. Cool? So get up early.
And he's always on time, so yes. Be on time. It's me who makes him late, so...
So if we're ever late as a family, just know it wasn't me.
It wasn't him.
So that's happening next Saturday, Wednesday night. We are in the seventh church, the seven churches of Revelation. And it's been a great Bible study. If you have not been a part of it, come and finish off the seven churches. But we are going to continue in the book of Revelation. We're not going to step away from that.
Amen.
We're staying in it. So how many are excited to study the book of Revelation? I see the faces. I don't know about that. Well, when you read it as a book, it's the letter to the churches, and it's a book of hope.
Yes.
Yeah, and what I like, see, I want to skip all the middle ones and go straight to chapter 19, because that's when we know what's happening next, and that's kind of where we're at in our life. We're waiting for chapter 19 to happen. That's where we're at right now. But I encourage you guys to come out. This week's the last week we're up in Wrightwood, and then next week, Jeannie, is it cool if we go to your house first for August? Okay, we're going to be at our house in August, okay? We're working on getting a bigger table. We're working on a bigger table right now. But we'll be at our house in August, and then we'll be back at the Blackwoods in September. So you can write that in your book on where you got to be on Wednesday nights. Cool?
Cool.
And then August 5th, we did the baptism classes on Thursday. So we got baptisms over at Corona Del Mar. We're going to have a good time down there. And then if you're in for the long haul that day, we're going to go to Huntington and watch Christ Safari. Yeah. So anybody want to come jam with me? I'll be jamming. And I want to jam in with you. Yeah? Yeah? All right. So that's August 5th. And actually, next Sunday night over at the Hesperia Church of Nazarene, there's going to be a guest over there. I want to invite you guys to come join. It's at 5:30, I believe. I'll send out a text. But he's going to be talking about, he's coming from Israel. And he's actually going to be talking about what's actually happening social, politically, and all the things going on right now in Israel. It's going to be really good. It's not necessarily a worship service. It's more of an educational time so we can see what's going on, firsthand accounts, what's happening, and it'll be really enlightening. So I would like to invite you guys. I'm going to be over there for sure to have you guys come out too. And if you want to know the truth of what's happening abroad, then don't turn on your TV. Let's get it firsthand. Amen. And then?
Next Saturday.
Sunday. Next Sunday.
Oh, next Sunday. Next Sunday. There you go. Never mind.
I think it's at 5:30. I'll get the time. And then?
What about women's and men's breakfast? Are we doing it same day? Are we not doing it same day? Are we doing it first or second?
You need to figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll figure out the next Bible study for Saturdays. There's a reason. I'm not just putting it on my wife. She needs to figure that out. But for August and stuff, how we're going to do that. If we need to push it a third week, we could totally do that.
Why don't we just do that?
We're flexible.
Third week of August.
Third week of August. Men, women, we're getting together. Women, you do your thing. Men, we're going
to
do our thing.
Third Saturday of August, come to our house, and we will all cook together, and then we will branch off and do our things. And Christina, just let us know what page we need to be through. Should we be through chapter one? Okay, so women, be through chapter one of your Francis Chan book so that we can discuss it the third Saturday of August. Cool? Do you still have books? Yes, they're in the trailer. You just need to $10.
All right. And I think that's all right now. We got a lot coming up starting in September and on. We have the dinner for Thanksgiving coming up. We're working right now on making contact with the schools so we could bless some families that might need to get started in school. So we'll let you guys know more about that once we have some information.
Have we figured out August 3rd or 4th for praying over each of the schools in the Snowline
August
District?
August 4th right now, tentatively, that's the word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Friday night, we're going to go around and pray for all the schools in the Snowline District. So hopefully you guys can make it out. We'll just caravan with Fountain Living Waters, and we're going to pray over each and every school. So give yourself, it's going to be a few hours. But you know, we don't put a time limit on the Holy Spirit, amen? So we're going to go pray and bless the schools. So that way when people walk in, they know there's something different. And when our kids walk in, they know there's something different. We're going to bless those schools. It's going to start at 6. At night. Gina, at night. I can't. I'm working at 6 in the morning. Friday?
It's a Friday.
August 4th? You do it on purpose now. You do it on purpose. All right, so that's happening on the 4th, and we'll give you all the dates and times of the other events as they start coming up, but we're just really excited to partner with Fountain again and continue to do the ministries up here in the local community. Amen. I'll get some more information about the Christmas event that we're going to put together. That's going to be pretty big, and we're going to need donations, and we're going to need to hit the streets and talk to people and try to get donations from vendors. And we just want to bless as many as we can in that time. Cool?
And then if I could just ask for you guys to keep Christian Jennings in prayer. He was in a car accident this past week, a pretty severe one. He's at home now, I think, but he had to have surgery and all the things. So just pray for him and his health. He was here last week. We prayed over him, and he's just going through some things right now. So just please be sure to pray for him.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so you guys got 1 minute. No longer. Go let somebody know you love them.
The dream is fading, now I'm staring at the door. I know it's over cause my feet have hit the cold floor. Check my reflection, I ain't feeling what I see. It's no mystery. Whatever happened to a passion I could live for? What became of the flame that made me feel more? And when did I forget that I was made to love you? I was made to find you. I was made just for you. Made to adore you. I was made to love. Got me swinging for the grand prize. I feel the haters spitting vapors on my dreams, but I still believe. I'm reaching out, reaching up, reaching over. I feel a breeze cover me called Jehovah. And daddy, I'm on my way, cause I was made to love.
Anything I would give up for you. Everything, I give it all away. Anything I would give up for you.
The dream is fading, now I'm staring at the door. I know it's over cause my feet have hit the cold floor. Check my reflection, I ain't feeling what I see. It's no mystery. Whatever happened to a passion I could live for? What became of the flame that made me feel more? And when did I forget that I was made to love you? I was made to find you. I was made just for you. Made to adore you. I was made to...
Mute me, man. Mute me over here. I'm not going to talk long, I promise. It's not my day. It's not. All right, you remember, last one sitting is preaching. You better be connected to the Holy Spirit real good. All right, so we are very blessed to have a good friend. And actually, we met Alan over at the Grace Fest a year and a half ago. And we were in line to go get an autograph from, it wasn't Danny Gokey. Was it Danny Gokey? Phil Wickham. It was Phil Wickham. Yeah. So Phil Wickham was supposed to come out. He was gonna sign autographs, and we were like, oh, let's do this. They made an announcement. They said, hey, if you want to go get an autograph. So we went in line, and then we quickly realized that we are not VIP. Okay? We don't got VIP money or all that, so we didn't get no signature. And they made the announcement very clear. If you're not VIP, you can't get a signature. So but in that... I'm just gonna meet the greatest worship leader of all time eventually, so I'm not even worried about it. But so instead of, you know, we were just cracking up, we're like, oh, we remembered we're not VIP. So, but we met Alan and his wife and just started talking. They live out here, and he has a perseverance conference that he does every October, right? Every October. So he's gonna talk about that too later, but. He has a great testimony and just become a really good friend of encouragement. Every time we talk, we're talking about God and the Bible, which is the best way to go. So I'm not going to talk long. I'm going to let him do the talking. But come on up, Alan. We just thank you for coming and sharing today. And then are you on? Yeah. Turn it on and we're good.
Come on now.
All right.
Can you guys hear me? Awesome. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You need a thing to put your Bible
on? Yeah, if I can. I have this big old Bible. Perfect. There you go. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. It's been an honor just to be here and listen to that amazing worship and just to be in the house of the Lord, amen, and to be with you guys. It's been honestly an honor for my wife and I. We already feel like it's at home. So thank you guys so much. And I was thinking, as I always do, because I have ADHD, so my brain's always going everywhere, right? Is I was thinking just when we walked here this morning, a lot of us walked here, that we have blessings and miracles more than we even think we have. More than many of us even might not even thought we had any miracles. But as I look around, I don't see anyone else in a walker. Many of us here who have children. Many of us here, all of us, right, have breath in our lungs, so God's not done with us yet. He's still working in and through us until he calls us home in heaven. A lot of us who have a house, a shelter, bed, food, as you can tell by my dad, but I eat plenty of food. I'm blessed and have the finances. My wife works. She's able to support us. And a lot of you in the same manner have finances, even if it's barely able to fill your tank at $5 a gallon. You have the resources and the finances, and you're here with this beautiful family. You may not see the blessings that you have when you're in these horrible storms or you're facing adversity or great trials. But I'm here today to share with you, if you just look around for just a minute in the mirror and say, Lord, I do have so much. I do have so much. Even in the middle of these horrible, horrific storms, I could see your goodness through it. You've held my hand throughout it all. And with that being said, as a church, I tell Pastor Mike this and the pastors that I know and the believers that it's sad, you guys, but it's although as us believers are dying, it's like we're a dying breed and we need to rise up. We are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We need to be shown to non-believers so we could be the light that God has called us to be to others. And it starts with us. And a lot of times, including myself, the old Alan, we have pity parties so much, don't we? We have pity parties. Don't lie. We're in the house of the Lord. He knows our heart. We have pity parties way more than we should. Why this? Why that? Why this? What about what you do have? We are spoiled, rotten children of God. I mean it, guys. We are so spoiled, rotten. Guys, with that being said, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful air conditioning that works as it's so hot outside, Lord. But we thank you for the breath in our lungs, Lord, and that we pray that we use this breath to glorify you. We pray that everything we do honors you, and when we fall and backslide, that we get back up and show people what it's called to be a real follower and believer of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've made. I pray that people are encouraged and left with hope and knowing that there is great pain in this world, but even in the darkest moments of our lives where it seems impossible to wake up, impossible to get up, that you find a way where there is no way. That you give us strength when we have no strength. When you are a provider, when we can't provide. That you provide miracles for us, Father God. That you are Jehovah Rapha. That you are Jireh, Lord. Lord, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You guys, if we can open our Bibles. You guys all know the passage very well. It's on my Bible. Most of us even have it on a magnet in our fridge. Jeremiah 29:11. Just say amen while you're there. As we're turning the page there, though, I do want to just do a short recap of what Pastor Mike was talking about, James. And as I lean into James 5:7-8, you guys don't have to turn there. It says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. There's so much hope in that. But also as a believer and follower of Christ, isn't it so hard to be patient like the farmers to wait for the crop? But you guys, it does something waiting. It builds character. It forms us more into the image of Christ when we wait for something. Because if God gave us everything we needed at the time that we wanted, it would build no strength, no character, no dignity. And our relationship with Christ would be easy. But he wants to build strength inside of us. He wants to mold us into the image of him and build character. You guys, for goodness sake, it's so hard for us to wait for something. We have Amazon Prime because we need it in one day, including myself, right? We can't wait for something, the best phone that's out, the best computer that's out. We need it right then and there. We can't wait another 6 months. No way. As we have our Bibles open to Jeremiah 29:11. You guys could say it with me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You guys, I'm not going to lie with you, on age 17. When I'd wake up with severe back pain, I hated this verse. I didn't get it. I didn't understand what God was doing to my life until I grew much later and grew, and I understood that God had a plan despite my circumstances, despite my pain, that he wanted to use me in the circumstance that I'm in today. And as I talk about this, much like the reward, I remember a few days ago, it was only like 110 degrees at my parents' house. And they have this pool lift, so I'm able to be in the pool with my family. But it's plastic, so it's extremely hot. And my parents didn't cover it. I'm like, thank you, parents. You just want to see, like, my booty just hot before I get in the pool. But the awesome thing is just like life in our relationship with Christ, when we go to heaven as followers of Christ, the reward was awesome. I was able to go with my family and enjoy the pool. I was able just to relax and enjoy some time with my family. Just like if we wait upon the Lord, it is worth the reward in heaven, like Jessica said later. Even if we're in pain for 18 years, it's nothing compared to an infinite nowadays with our Lord and Savior. Amen. And that's what we have to focus on, because this life could spit us out. It could make us drown in sink or swim situations, you guys. For instance, at age 3, I started playing all kinds of sports. Soccer particularly, and baseball. Athlete, all-star year after year. To the age of 17, I woke up with severe back pain. And obviously us men, dude, we're kind of stupid. We're stubborn and stupid. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you, dude. I'm like, okay, it's just a pulled muscle. I'm fine, right? And no, I was absolutely wrong. And so as weeks go by, months go by, maybe a few months, I couldn't even lift my backpack, man. I felt humiliated. I had to ask my friends to lift my backpack because my back was just thrashed. And my parents were like, you're going to the doctor, Alan. I wish they said three little monkeys were jumping on the bed, but they didn't. They said, Alan, every specialist I went to, they said, Alan, you have a herniated disc. I'm like, dude, I'm 17. How? Why? Why me? I don't even have a cool story, guys. I don't. And it's like, what? And all they could say, oh, from all the sports. I'm like, yeah, but everyone plays sports when they're younger. That can't be the case. Is there anything else? Is there another option? They said, we could do a round of epidurals and physical therapy. I said, okay, I'll try it before I get my back cut open. And so I had the surgery, you guys, because the epidurals didn't work. I had the surgery, and the surgeon comes into the room and tells my parents, you know what? It's worse than what the MRI even showed. The MRI showed that it was compressing on all my nerve roots. It could make me permanently paralyzed if I didn't have the surgery. So after about a two-hour surgery, I remember they get you up like the same day. I'm like, are you kidding me? Okay, let's do this. Sure. And so you're getting up, and after much physical therapy, rehab, occupational therapy, I'm able to walk again with my graduating class, my huge graduating class of 19 people. At Apple Valley Christian School, you guys. But I was blessed. I was happy. I was excited. I thought that was the end of my pain once and for all. It was horrible while it lasted, but I'm good to go. I'm back, healthy, athletic Alan Schwartz. Here we go. But I was mightily mistaken. 6 months later, the age of 18, my whole life still ahead of me, so I thought. I was washing some windows with a bottle of Windex for my mom. And I remember just dropping the bottle of Windex, and I was instantly in a 10 out of 10 pain. From my neck all the way down to my toes, it felt as though someone was stabbing me with a kitchen knife. Sciatica that I still have to this day, that's why I move around a lot, down both legs, torment, pain, suffering. That only got worse every single day. We went to the local emergency room, St. Mary's there in Apple Valley. And they said, we don't know what it is, but you can go home. I was like, thanks for the encouragement. I really appreciate it. You guys, in this time frame, it was about 2 years, I kept seeing myself just get worse, progressively worse. I had more epidurals because people were just taking a shot in the dark of what it was. And they did three more epidurals with no relief. All these different treatment plans with no help whatsoever. All these MRIs, PET scans, CAT scans. Anything you can imagine scan, okay, they did to me. Blood work with no answer. You guys, I had so many nurses and doctors share with me, Alan, because they couldn't figure it out. It's all in your head. Man, with anger, resentment, bitterness, I questioned the Lord. And I remember going to my mom and I said, Mom, was it because I was so hyper? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to be the one going through all this pain? Why me, Lord? I think we all can relate in this circumstance, right? I think we've all been there. Why me? Why did I have to get this diagnosis? Why did I have to lose someone that I love so deeply? Why did I have a notification letter that I was going to lose my house? All these different things, right? In our lives, where we question and we ask the Lord, why? And that was me, and I didn't understand it. My mom, weeping, she said, I don't know, son, but if I could take it away from you, I'd put it on me. I think that's what any loving mom would do. And as 2 years almost went by with no diagnosis, I would see myself not only go from a wheelchair, but a wheelchair to bed. And if you know anybody, but especially someone who was always on the go and always so mobile, you couldn't stop to now being in bed, it was hell every single day. No other way to say it. No other way to put it. It was horrible with no diagnosis. Excruciating pain with no answers. I thought I was by myself at that point in time. I thought I was lonely at that point in time. I thought there was no hope. There was no way that I was going to make it to my 20th birthday. I remember one episode, my parents actually got me in the wheelchair and took me to the local mall by us. And I remember choking on food because my inflammation was so high in my throat. My neck pain was so tight. again, we get sent to emergency room, and they said, I'm sorry, all your tests are coming back negative. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm like, no, your tests just are messed up. There's something wrong, but you can't figure it out. Lord, please help me. I think we've all been there where we have cried out to God, please provide me strength when I have absolutely none, when I feel humiliated because I'm like a 90-year-old that my dad has to take care of. I couldn't shower myself. I couldn't bathe myself. You guys, I couldn't even lift up a Bible like this. I had to have grippers on every utensil to even lift to eat food. And that lasted for about 6 months straight. My parents, they write Channel 7 News off of faith that maybe they could do a segment for me, and they agreed. They came to our house with the film man, and they said, let's film this. And so we were all at my bedside crying out to God and praying and believing that we were going to get a diagnosis. Lo and behold, they do this short mystery diagnosis for me. My parents are writing best of the best specialists, even out of state. We didn't care where I had to go, just as long as I would hear the word diagnosed. And so a doctor by the name of Dr. MacArthur and Johns Hopkins Hospital actually saw the segment. He said, I think I could help your son. I was like, oh my Lord, finally. And so we're at Johns Hopkins Hospital. He's like, just expect to be here for 3 to 5 days. Just like anyone else, he was getting stumped after stumped and test after test. After my 7th spinal tap total, you guys, he comes back in the next day and he says, Alan, you're diagnosed. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. Let this be the end of it. But then he continues and he says, Alan, you're the youngest ever diagnosed in the U.S. actually at this point in time with a rare incurable spinal cord disease by the name of arachnoiditis. It could spread to your brain. It could make you permanently paralyzed. No treatment plans. And it can kill you if it spreads to your brain. And he leaves the room. Once again, I questioned and I asked the Lord. And I remember this verse vividly. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. And as my parents are with me hearing this horrific news, they leave my bedside, and I'm like, thank you, parents, for leaving me too. You guys are so curious to do this. And as they leave my bedside, I'm just praying to God and crying out to him and doing a verse prayer. Lord, please, what is it that you want from me? And I will do it in the middle of my hurt, in the middle of my pain and agony, please. And as my parents come back with felt like an eternity, it was probably only several minutes, they say, Alan, we have something to share with you, and this is my transformation, you guys. Not physically, but spiritually. My parents come into the room and they say, we have something to share with you. And I said, I already know what. You guys, my life would change that day. It was that no matter what the doctors, the nurses, physical therapists, or even family members would say, that God's going to use me despite my bad circumstances. That God does have a purpose and a plan for my life. It may not be sports, but it's something more superior. It's something greater. He's going to use me in a better way, a stronger way, in a way that I never, ever expected, but that he could use me to help one person, to help one person hurting, in pain, in suffering, sorrow. Then it's worth all this pain. And I say that because I mean it. It's worth being in this chair if one person sees Jesus who wasn't going to see him before. And so as I pray this, I say, Lord, will use me, even if that means to speak someone. But be careful what you ask the Lord for. Be careful, man. You guys ask for patience. Be careful. He's going to give you some circumstance where you're going to be using patience. You're going to be on the 91 freeway in bumper-to-bumper traffic or something. You know what I'm saying? So I asked for this. And you guys, there's this guy. He was miserable at the time. He was probably about 60, but he was on his deathbed. He was dying from terminal brain cancer. His name was Joe. But he saw me fight in physical therapy, being able just to stand for like 10 seconds shaking, being able to take a shower for the first time in almost 2 years in the shower chair, being able to put a shirt on, taking me 30 minutes, but being able to do it for the first time in almost 2 years. And he wanted to talk with me. And I wanted to say, no, no, you seem like you're going to kill me. And he was so grumpy. And he said, Alan, I want this to be a personal conversation. Shut the door. I'm like, Lord, I just got this diagnosis. Now this guy's going to kill me. Oh, my gosh. What's going to happen, Lord? But you guys, as we shut the door, we talked for an hour and a half. And Joe followed Christ, you guys. We got to talk to him. And it was so beautiful to see, despite my circumstance, despite my pain, despite my agony, that God, could use my story for his glory. And that's my message today, despite what you're going through, despite your pain, despite things that come up in your life that you never expect, things that are so dark in your life, that God could use you for his glory, but you must change too. You must transform. And that's what I had to do, you guys. I'm not the same person that I once was. I'm still messed up and screwed up, just not as messed up and screwed up as I once was. You know? And so since that point in time, you guys, God has blessed me with opportunities to be able to speak in California to thousands of people. You cannot tell me that God doesn't have a purpose and a plan for my life. It just was different than I ever expected it to be. And he changed my perspective on life. Like, now I look at our high desert and I actually enjoy it. It's like, am I getting old, Lord, or is my perspective on life just changing? I think it's a combination of both. Like, I look outside, I enjoy the weather, I enjoy rainbows. It's like, all this stuff, man, that just, you have to change your perspective and outlook on life in order to change and be used by God. In order to be used. So fast forward. Several months after I leave Johns Hopkins, I'm still in a wheelchair, still searching for answers, trying to find a treatment plan because I'm still in a ton of pain. But my mobility was a little bit better. I was able to shower with the shower chair, able to get dressed, things of that nature, but still an excruciating amount of pain. So my mom, I'll never forget, she comes into my room. You would have thought she won like the lotto or something. Alan! Screaming top of her lungs. I'm like, are you okay, mom? Are you and dad fighting again? Like, what's going on? And she's like, I just found this treatment plan, but he's in Germany. I'm like, Germany? In Zwickau, Germany. You guys, this was another miracle that God did. We didn't have any money. My parents' marriage was horrific at this point in time. Horrific. But the doctor said, I will do the surgery at no cost, and you guys could stay here. My dad would stay home to pay to work to pay our bills. My aunt and my mom went with me. The surgeon agreed to do the surgery at no cost and that my aunt and my mom could stay in the room with no hotel needed. It was a work of God, and I just felt led like I was going to be healed there. And so as we get there, the language barrier obviously was crazy. The food was awful. But the nurses were amazing. The doctor didn't have the greatest of bedside manners. But he was cool. And as I get there, you guys, he tells me right before the surgery that I was going to have, mind you, that my herniated disc came back, an L5-S1, and that it was even bigger than the first time. It's like a 7 millimeter bulge or something. Same area, L5-S1, that we're going to have to do two surgeries in one, the herniated disc and the other one. I said, well, doc, I'm glad you told me 15 minutes so I didn't have to worry much about it. And so we just had a sense of humor. And so after my surgery, you guys, I'll never forget, we were there for 2 weeks. After week one, I was walking. Out of my wheelchair, slowly but surely, I was walking and crying profusely. Like ugly crying, but I was crying. Like those movies, dude. It's just like an ugly cry. That was me, Alan Schwartz. Ugly crying. I thought, Lord, thank you. I'm on the road to recovery. This is such a miracle. I'll never forget when I get back home and in Victorville, I went to see physical therapists who I became very close with. And they were shocked. Dude, I get out of the car, and I'm walking inside. When all the doctors said, there's no way that Alan would be able to walk. There's just no way. But God said, there is a way if it's my will. My will be done. Yes, our God is greater than any storm. And that's so true. And so as I see the therapist there, they're crying. They're giving me a hug and everything. It was beautiful. A few months later, I hop onto Facebook. And I'm like, you know what? This Brittany girl, I remember going to school with her. My parents are fighting right now. Let's hang out. Let's hang out. This is a good excuse to leave the house because I don't want to hear my parents fight right now. And so I'm like, hey, you want to just get coffee at a local coffee shop? Let's get to know each other more because I went to high school with Brittany. And yes, I cheated off of her in high school, okay? Lord knows. Lord knows our hearts, okay? Lord knows our hearts. I just had to be honest with you. And so we're nothing more than acquaintances, you guys, but there was something different about her. We both shared the same morals, the same values. I was like, man, this girl's cool. And she has a cool ride, 350Z. This is awesome. Okay, this is bonus points, okay? Awesome. Winning all the way around. And so as we get to connect, you guys remember I'm walking at this point in time. I'm talking to Brittany. I said, you know what, babe? Like, this is how the Lord changed my life. This is who I once was. Now look how the Lord has changed my life. like through this pain, through this agony, all I want to do is like share hope and encouragement to others. And she's looking at me like, that's cool. When are you going to shut up? Because you're walking, you're fine now. Like, okay, be quiet. Okay. And so it's one thing to hear it, but when you're okay, right? It just goes in one ear and out the other. But as the weeks went by, I'll never forget it. That was in August, and in October, I think it was October 16th of 2009. We're at a Skillet concert in Hollywood with my sister, my girlfriend, at that time Brittany. And we're there, standing up. I was able to walk in. But you guys, I'll never forget, my back pain came back. And it was horrific, and I was scared, but I was trying to be mighty and tough because my girlfriend's there, you know what I'm saying? And so I go on a bench, and she's texting me, are you okay? And honestly, I was like, no, I'm not. From that point forward, guys, I've been in a wheelchair about 99% of the time. I went to Kansas, met a Christian. It was a holistic doctor. I met him, and this was a few years later, did a fundraiser for me in 2012. I was able to walk for maybe a few weeks, and then I saw myself in a wheelchair again. It's the hardest thing when you think you're on the up and up and you're going to be healed forever, but then you see yourself decline again. It's so challenging. It's so hard, not just physically, spiritually, but emotionally. I think that gets overlooked a lot. Emotionally, it is so tiring. It's exhausting. But I think of this, and I think when God says that we must carry our own cross, right? And you guys, I think of the crown of life, and I think of my ultimate prize, and that's what keeps me going. It is my prize, is my heavenly Father. I hope one day when I enter heaven that he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that this pain is nothing, right? It's nothing. It may seem like huge right now, but it's nothing when we get to see our Lord and Savior. This is just a small temporary time before we get to see our Lord and Savior. And I pray that you change here today. I know a lot of us, you know, we're stuck in our ways, we say, but God could break you. If he broke me, he could break you. He could change you from the inside out like he's changed me from the inside out. And that's what I was sharing with Brittany as I've declined. And I thought, you know what, Lord, this is very hard. I don't know how I'm going to provide for our family. I want to marry this Brittany girl, but I don't know how I can work. So on 2013, I said, you know what? I'm going to ask Brittany's dad's hand, marriage. I'm going to marry this girl despite, because you have blessed us abundantly. I think you will bless us, Lord. And so I asked for the hand in marriage. And in 2015, of March 20th of 2015, I get to marry my beautiful wife here, Brittany. And you guys, as doctors on certain occasions, several different occasions, they said, Alan, your autoimmune system's so bad, you'll never be able to have children. And I'll never forget until I met Brittany, I kind of just let that pass because I was told so many negative things throughout this journey until I met Brittany. And I remember her hearing it herself when we were in Kansas and I was getting treatment. But on May 26th of 2016, the doctors, actually 9 months before that, were mightily mistaken because my wife was pregnant with a healthy boy. Yeah. You know, that's the thing about our Lord and Savior. He didn't just do miracles then. He does miracles today. He doesn't just do miracles back in the Bible, guys. I've seen them. Just because me physical isn't healed, spiritually, he's healed me more. He's healed me. And you guys, if you can't run, walk physically, run the race that God has for you. Run the race that he is on, the course that you are on now for him. Run for it. We all have different courses. We all have different tests, testimony, trials, and triumphs. But guess what? Keep going. Keep persevering. And stop throwing pity parties at ourselves. Because there's always someone who has more off than us. And stop comparing your trial to someone else. Oh, Lord and Christians, including myself, but they have this and I don't. Shut up. You have more than you can fathom. We do. We have so much, guys. So much more. And then you guys, if that wasn't enough, my little princess came here on September 23rd of 2019, our Tenley Schwartz. God still does miracles, you guys. If there's nothing else that I want to leave you guys with this, is that God is too good to not believe. He is too powerful. He is too big. He's bigger than your storm. He's bigger than your trial. But guys, we have to surrender. That's the thing. Because you understand, there's so many times, even now, I'm so honest with you guys, okay? I'm not going to say something that I don't struggle with, okay? When I put myself in a situation and I try it my way, the Allen way, I screw up every time. Every time. But when I do it the God way, okay? What we mess up a lot in, a lot of times God's way is so much harder. Forgiving people? Oh, Lord, Allen? Forgiving someone who messed up your family, familia? Oh, Lord. Okay, but guess what? It is worth it. Because God forgives us and he calls us to love our neighbors. You guys, we are to forgive. And to work on our bitter hearts. And to work on ours. Because guess what? We want to treat others the way that we would like to be treated. Don't judge others unless you want to be judged in the same way, it says. So you guys, I want to do something different. I've had times where pastors have asked me Q&As, but at this point in time, I want to just open it up, if that's okay, with Pastor Mike. And if you guys have any questions whatsoever, I'd like to just answer them. Do you have a question?
I saw.
No problem. Yeah, she did the little. I saw the eyes. Yeah, I saw the lady eyes, dude. They had those shifty eyes. Like, don't call on me, but I want to say something. And you women are more nosy. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I know. I got my girl. I'm able.
I was saying during your time, of course.
I love you, honey.
So what are you going through right now?
Still excruciating pain from my neck down to my toes. Experience it every single day, every single second. Still no treatment plans at this time. Tried so much, but I still believe that one day I will be healed. And if it's not here on earth, it will be in heaven with brand new body. No more wheelchair, no more walkers, no prescription drugs, no more pain of any kind, you guys. I do want to share something with you guys, too, that, of course, like I said, my ADHD brain that was focused on stuff is my wife. She is so amazing. She literally is an angel from above, and I thank the Lord so much for her. Here's my emo side coming out. Right, dude, it's good. It's just amazing, the strength that she has. And I just don't take that for granted, and I love her so much. And she is one of the strongest, if not the strongest people I know. And it makes you fight more, and it makes you stronger when you have that person who's so strong. It makes it easy to fight, too, at times, easier to fight. Along with the Lord, man. There's nothing too challenging for our Lord, and I could say it because I've been through it and I continue to be through it for 18 years of my life now, and I could say that God is so good because without him, like Britt said, I probably wouldn't be here. I know for sure I wouldn't be speaking in front of you guys, and I wouldn't be with Brittany. I'd be off doing my own thing, playing sports, not speaking hope and encouragement and life and direction to you guys at all. so he could bring the darkest, hardest trials in your life to light, honestly. And I am living proof of that. And through it, it's to give God the glory, as Mike has said, that I've been able to put on these conferences. It started in 2013, but I had the vision, but God just didn't open the doors to put on a conference that people from all walks of life can come to and find Jesus right then and there, who don't believe, those have, you know, dealing with addiction or of any kind, those dealing with pain of any kind can come and hopefully persevere and find hope and find Jesus Christ right then and there through speakers, one being myself and any others that God lays on my heart to speak that year, along with amazing worship, to give people hope in this world that is so hopeless, guys. In this world where us Christians believing in stuff that we should never believe, that go against the word of God, that we should never say is okay because social media tells us it's okay or the news tells us it's okay, when it's totally against the grain because we don't want to be in an argument with them. Are you kidding me? We aren't to argue with people. We're to love people, absolutely, but we're also to stick up for our faith and for what is right and what is wrong, and we should not transform to this world. Not at all. And we're seeing it far often, far too much, way too much, what it should be. Any other questions, you guys? Yeah. Lonely. Yes. Yeah, the realness of it is, I'm not going to give you a church answer. It's loneliness, discouragement, questioning, asking, doubting, fear, all those emotions. Trying, it was very, very discouraging. Very discouraging. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I know. I hear you. There are days where it's like, Lord, how much more? It's true. That's what faith is. Faith is believing without seeing. Faith is not seeing me get better. It's believing that one day I will be better, despite feeling like garbage, despite feeling the other way. Yes, amen. Yes. Yeah.
With the true knowledge and the discernment and things like that. And so in our lives, sometimes when we don't hear him, he's equipping somebody else to come into our lives, have that wisdom and that gesture.
Right. That's true. I like that. That's so true, Jessica.
Sometimes he's got the hold on a second because I'm already in battle right now.
Right.
I'm fighting for you. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to get back to you.
Right. You're so true. And that's the hardest thing. When the time is right, waiting upon the Lord, right?
Yeah.
It's so hard. And we all sing it, wait upon the Lord, wait up. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. It's challenging, you know? And I love that. I love that. Any other questions? Oh, yes, brother. Wow. Sure. Right. See what I'm saying? It's amazing, man. Yeah, he does. And he does it. It's a lifelong process. It's as long as we have breath in our lungs, guys, we will be a process work for our Lord and Savior. It is a process. It's not an overnight, you know. It might be an emotionalism, you know, when you get baptized or you feel that emotion for that moment in time. But when troubles come, like it says in John, troubles of many kind, what do? You know, that's when we have to dig deep and make sure that we are strong and courageous, like it says in Joshua 9. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go. Meaning battle. Meaning the darkest times of your life and hardest times of your life. Are you ready to fight for the Lord? Yes.
And my list, well, the list of stressors, I decided to check the meat box. And now I'm finding I'm going to grab a surfboard and wipe the driveway.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Because you're giving me the strength.
Right. That's amazing. And it seems as though trials will do that to us and pull us towards him or against us, but it's our decision to make.
Yeah.
For sure. Anyone else? Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I think you're awesome.
I think you're awesome too.
I just want to say that honestly, though, I've shared a lot of places, and just the hospitality here has been amazing, man. I love how welcoming you guys are. Just awesome. Welcoming with open arms.
We're here every Sunday, so.
Thank you. Look at her selling me here, dude. And honestly, I would love. As I tell Mike, when I have the flyer out, should be soon, I'd love for you guys to come as a congregation to this year's conference. And it's in Apple Valley. And it's not because I put it on, because it's only on because of the Lord giving me the strength to put these on. And seeing the vision come to reality is amazing. And I just hope you guys can make it October 14th at the market at Townsend in Apple Valley. Last thing I just want to say, too, before I wrap up and pray, is that my pastor grabs me. I'm really close to him. I've known him since 2008. Pastor Dane Davis, and he comes to me and he's like, Alan, I got to talk to you. I'm like, this could have mean two things. I did something to really make him angry, or I did something to make him maybe happy, but he seems, I don't know. It's usually the first one, not the latter. I'm like, dude, what I do? What? What do I have to repent for? he's like, no, dude, it's good, and my wife wants to talk with you and Brittany. I'm like, what could this be, bro? What are you saying? So he takes us to our car, and he's like, man, and he's starting to tear up. I'm like, oh, man, I really made you angry. And so he's tearing up. He's like, Alan, the only thing you're missing when you go to these speaking engagements, stuff that God really laid on my heart, is to, I want to write your biography. I'm like, dude, he knows I'm an awful writer. He'll do it for me. Thank you so much. So last October, it was about a week or so before my conference, it came out, and we have some copies here, and it's that exactly that. It's my biography from when I was born to when I was bedridden, the entire thing from the great parts of my life to the hardest parts of my life to being married to everything in between. So it's just a blessing to see what God could do despite difficulties in your life. And again, if none of you guys have questions, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for having me, man. I hope that you guys allow me back, and just many, many blessings to you all. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day that you've made. Lord, when it's hard for us to praise you, it's hard to see what you're doing is good, as we are just reminded by a question, may our faith lead us back to you. May our faith guide us in our decision making, Lord. We all have different races and courses in this life. But at the end of the day, when we lay our head down at night, may we all praise the same Father, our Heavenly Father. May we lead back to you. May those who are struggling with depression, anxiety, questioning you, may they lead back to you, Father God. Because it's okay to ask, Lord, because many times you'll give us an answer, and when you don't and you're quiet, as Jessica said, you're doing stuff that we can't even see, we may not know, Father God. But Lord, we believe that you're fighting our battles for us as you carried your son carried a cross almost 2,000 years ago so we could have everlasting life with you. You carried all of our burdens, our trials, our pain, our suffering, and I pray for miracles to take place. And I pray, like Pastor Mike and Jessica pray, Lord, for revival, that we are revived, Lord, that you get a glimpse of our hearts from the depths of our heart, Lord, that we would be on fire for you, not for people, but for you, that you would get a grip of our heart for all to see so the non-believers would come for you, Lord, because we need you more than ever before. We love you and flood our hearts with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's children said,
amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you so much. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Well, that was loaded, right? That's good stuff. Thank you. Thank you, Brittany. I look forward to many more years of friendship. And actually, once you're New Life family, you're always family. So you guys are always welcome here. You know, as this week we were talking, Alan and I were texting back and forth. And it's funny because he's like, okay, you know, how should we? He's looking at format. And he hasn't been here before. I said, oh, we fly by the seat of the Holy Spirit. So whatever you want to do, man, it's all game. And it's been a blessing, definitely. And yeah, just good stuff. And as the day was coming, and he told me, he said, you know, the perseverance. I love that word, perseverance. It means so much, because to persevere means you have to go through. And we have to go through so much. Book of Romans, chapter 4. It's the end of chapter 4. One of my favorite chapters, besides the whole Bible. Chapter 4 ends like this. It says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And I say that because in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore. So I gave you the therefore. Remember, if there's therefore, you got to read the before. This is, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So we brag about God because he gives us hope. So start bragging, right? And it says, I lost my place. There it is. Verse 3, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. Now, this is Paul writing. If you know somebody that went through something, it says, we glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Somebody say amen. So when we hear an amazing story, testimony of perseverance in things, remember, we are all enduring and getting through to persevere, but we hold on to that hope because the Holy Spirit is our source of hope. It's the eternal hope that you can't get from this world. So no matter what we are going to go through or what we've been through, we had complete faith in knowing because God has invited us into his presence because Jesus died on the cross. It's always about God. It's always about God. So have faith in that. Have hope in that. And Alan, thank you again. The books are $10, okay? So the church did give some financial blessing to Alan for those books. So we have 10 books that if you can't afford one, we have one to give one. Okay. But I really appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. I'm excited about many more years. We're gonna rock this desert, man. This is about to go down. I'm just letting you know. Pray for the events that we're gonna plan. It's gonna happen. We've been talking about doing an event in the next year, so pray for that. We're gonna cause a dust storm of fear of the Holy Spirit. So I love you guys.